Good morning. Welcome to our radio program. We want to wish you a happy new year and hope that you will become a regular listener this year as we open up the pages of God's wonderful book. Today we want to talk about the attitude of tomorrow. In this country, we have become masters of the art of procrastination. What does this word mean? To put off doing something, especially out of habitual carelessness and laziness, to postpone or to delay. Sad but true that this art has also caught on with many members of the body of Christ. So many congregations have people in them, and no one is really an exception, which would have some very strong additional members if tomorrow would ever come. What do I mean? Please allow me to explain. Do you have anyone here that's listening this morning that has planned to start becoming a better Bible student, going to do more personal study and do more work on preparing for Bible classes? When? Start first thing tomorrow. Do we have anyone here who knows that they need to obey the gospel, knows and understands the truth, but are waiting for tomorrow? Anyone here who makes plans to see someone who has been ill as of late, going to send them a card, going to try to cheer them up, to encourage them, and you're going to get around to that tomorrow? Is there one listening who has fallen away from the Lord, and you've been making a plan to go and make things right and get yourself back into the Lord's church and get regular again in attending and being faithful to God, and you're going to do that tomorrow? I know that the church needs more Bible class teachers. I haven't taught in quite a while. I'm going to sign up to teach one of those classes, but tomorrow. I know there are things in my life that I need to fix, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be a better Christian in the future than I have been in the past. I'm going to make the needed correction in my life and get back to faithful service, and I'm going to do that tomorrow. Dear listener, do you feel uncomfortable? Have I hit a nerve? Could I be talking about some of you? I know that this applies to many of us. The question is, will it continue to be so in 2011? This morning I want to give you 6 dangers of putting things off until tomorrow. Please give them sober and prayerful consideration. First of all, it allows Satan to continue to work on us. If Satan can get us to put off our duty for one more day, then he can continue to work on you today to get you to put it off again tomorrow. Believe me, he wants you to wait. Satan is nipping at our heels every day, every moment, trying to get us back into his camp. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, we are told that we need not be ignorant of his devices, lest he gain an advantage over us. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Satan is described as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. He's lurking, he's waiting, and he is giving us just enough rope that we can subdue our own selves. Many want to know the bottom line. Satan's ultimate bottom line is to devour you, to steal your spiritual inheritance. Discouragement, delay, putting off. We play right into his hands. Just wait for tomorrow. Satan will be there before you are up tomorrow to get you to delay again. The second thing, the danger of putting off till tomorrow, is it gives us more chances to make more excuse. In Acts chapter 24, Felix, in verse 25, was waiting for the convenient season. What would it take to make a convenient season? In Luke 14 and verse 7, in the parable of the Great Supper, we are told that the master had all things ready, but one by one, people began to make an excuse. This is also taught beginning in verse 18 through 20. These are not excuses, they are just delays. These are transparent excuses. If you buy a piece of ground, go check it before you buy it, not afterwards. If you buy an animal and you need to check his stock, do it before, not after. And if you're married and you want to set a good example before your spouse, isn't it easy to see that these are nothing more than faulty excuses, trying to get out of knowing what we need to do and ought to do, but we're just putting it off to another day. What about our excuses? Will God accept them? No. Excuse is not just another form of lying. It's just said in a different way to try to make it seem less evil. If we would do what we need to do, what we ought to be doing, what we can do, we won't be making any excuses. But you just keep putting it off, and you'll develop one excuse after another in order that you don't do what you know that you need to do. The next thing, the danger of procrastination, is what example are we setting for others? Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, that we need to seek the days of our Creator in the days of our youth before the evil days come. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that evil companions corrupt good morals. The wrong crowd will develop wrong character. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, we are told by the Lord Himself that we are the salt and light of the earth, and we're a light that's sitting on a hill, and that we ought to be influencing and exampling others for Christ. And others might see our good works and glorify our Father. Do we set the proper example as salt and light of the world? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we're told that we need to train up our children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. But when we continue to make excuses, and when we continue to put off what we know we ought to be doing and should be doing, what kind of examples are we teaching our children? What kind of lessons are they learning? And are we not just creating the same type of environment that they're going to do the very thing that we're doing, and that is delaying and not doing what we need to do? What kind of example do you set for others? Are you one that let others do your work? Are you one that's always looking to find out some way to get out of doing what you need to be doing and letting others do things that you know you could do, but you just don't want to take the time to do? This is just another example of putting off things till tomorrow. The next thing you need to consider is procrastination questions your honesty with God. We're told in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, that we need to bear fruit. We need to be productive. We're told in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 that as a steward we are to be faithful. In Matthew 24 and verse 42 and in Matthew 25 and verse 13, we have examples of people who waited too long and put things off until it was too late and they had to give an account and they were found to be wanting. Do you think you can fool God? In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, we are told that we are naked and open before His sight. He sees and hears and knows everything we think and do. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, we are told that God judges the heart. He knows what's inside of a man. He knows what his motives are. Are you a Christian? Do you believe just going to church and playing church makes you a Christian? You know, sinning in the hen house doesn't make you a chicken, does it? And acting like you're a Christian when you're just putting off for tomorrow the things you ought to be doing, know that you should be doing, you're not fooling anyone. And you're setting a terrible example. But do you understand, finally, that you're not fulfilling your duties as one of God's children? You're avoiding your responsibility, and God will judge us for such neglect. Putting off for tomorrow will also affect your peace of mind. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, we're told there's a peace that passes all understanding. In Matthew chapter 26, we have the example of Peter when he denied the Lord in verse 69 through 75. Peter knew he had done what he had done when he told Christ he would not do. He said, I will never deny you. But yet when he looked at the Lord in Luke chapter 22 and verse 62, it hit him. He did exactly what he said that he would not do. In Matthew 19, we have an account beginning in verse 16 through 22 of a rich man that wanted eternal life. And he wanted to know what he needed to do in order to obtain it. He came to the best possible person to ask. He came to the Lord Himself. And he was told exactly what he needed to do. But yet, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Why? Do you think he had trouble understanding the Lord's answer? No, he did not want to do what was required. He did not want to pay the cost of discipleship. In Matthew chapter 11, we have some of the most comforting passages in Scripture that are often referred to as the Great Invitation or the Lord's Invitation. This is given to every sinner who is separated from God by his sin. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the Lord's invitation, and we can do it any time, and we can receive the peace of mind knowing that our sins are forgiven and we are in a relationship with Christ. But that can wait for another day. We can put it off to another day, until tomorrow. Last, the danger of waiting for tomorrow is that tomorrow may never come. In James 4 and verse 14, we're told that our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. We are told in Hebrews 9 verse 27 that it's appointed a man once to die, and after the death comes the judgment. We are told by the great wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 that there's no work that can be accomplished in the grave. Someday, somewhere, you will run out of tomorrow. Good intentions, unfulfilled plans cannot help when we stand before the Lord in judgment. Almost could not help King Agrippa in Acts 26 verse 28. And dear listener, it cannot help us. Dear friend, does this lesson apply to you? Are you putting off today what you should be doing? Why not stop waiting for tomorrow? And why not act today? It won't be easy, but you can start this very hour. The story is told of the Queen of England who was going to visit a city in the U.S. They called the hotel to make sure that their rooms would be ready for the royal party. Their answer was, "Tell the Queen to come anytime. Our rooms are always ready." Can you say that today concerning your relationship with God? Could you tell Him to come today because you're ready? If not, don't wait until tomorrow. Make your life right with God today, this very minute, this very hour. Don't put it off for another day. We need to understand that we do not control the clock of our lives. That is controlled by God. One day we will leave this life. One day our Lord will come back in judgment. And every good intention you had, every plan for what you had hoped to do, and every tomorrow that you had promise to do what you needed to do will not make any difference. It will just be one more thing that will plague you in torment as you are eternally separated from God. Dear listener, this is a new year. Don't make plans to do things later. Make plans to do things now, to make your life right with God, to be faithful, and to be a good example to others. We encourage you to come and be with us this morning as we study the Bible and as we open up the pages of God's Word and we offer worship to our Lord. Please come and be with us, and please join us again next week when we will open up the pages of God's holy book again and look into it deeply to find out the words of life. Have a wonderful day.